We're still short one member for a quorum, but we'll begin our meeting so we can begin the testimony here. We have two bills. First one is House File 165, Representative Opatz has the bill dealing with the applied doctoral degrees, and I think we'll begin with the testimony. I should point out to members, I'll do it again later. Well, now we'll officially begin the meeting of the House Higher Education Finance Committee. In your packet, you'll find an envelope of this color, it's green, and inside is information from our last hearing regarding some of the testifiers that were here, and this was not handed out at that time, so it's just information for you to keep. And for that, we'll file it. And Representative Opatz, would you like to begin?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. If it's okay, I'll move for the committee the bill, House File 165, for possible inclusion in the this bill.
That's correct.
Members, this is a proposal that has been around for a number of years, and what it does is explicitly allow state universities to offer the applied doctoral degree. So in statute, where currently the state universities are limited to the master's degree, you'll see a very simple change on the second page, the cross out of the master's and the inclusion of the words applied doctoral degree, which is essentially a practitioner-oriented degree as contrasted with the a PhD or a doctor of philosophy that is exclusively the domain of the University of Minnesota, as is other doctorates with respect to public universities. As I mentioned, this idea has been discussed and promoted for a number of years. In fact, I was the author of legislation, I think, 6 or 8 years ago that passed, that had MinSCU and the University of Minnesota engage in a study or analysis of the need for practitioner-oriented doctorates in the state of Minnesota, and that study demonstrated that there was such a need, and so there's been continuing work over the years, and in fact, I think the House bill 2 years ago had some language that moved this issue forward. Let me just briefly discuss why we're here talking about it, and then there are others who can testify as well. First, unlike many states, Minnesota has really only one public university offering the doctorate, and that's here in the Twin Cities area. Yet we have tremendous demand for doctorates across the state for such things as psychologists. We now have, in law, it requires a doctorate to be a licensed psychologist. Yet 2/3 of our psychologists in the state of Minnesota are at the master's level and will be retiring, so there will be an increasing demand for a doctorate prepared psychologists. We have large numbers of superintendents, school superintendents, and other school personnel who are expected to be retiring in the next few years, and so there's tremendous pressure for doctorates for those folks. And many of the people who are in line for leadership positions in our school districts are place-bound. They're professionals in their careers in small towns in Minnesota. And the state universities are ideally suited, being that they are spread across the state, for providing these doctorates. And finally, I'll mention the doctorate in nursing. And one of the key bottlenecks that we have in addressing the nursing shortage is the ability to attract nurses with the doctorate who can then train the master's level nurses, who then train students at the baccalaureate and the two-year college nursing programs. And so there's sort of a domino effect here, and one of the areas that we really need to address the nursing shortage is with increasing the numbers of nurses with doctorates. So for all of those reasons and others that you'll hear, this proposal is designed to expand the opportunity in rural Minnesota for the doctorates that are rooted in a number of critical fields that will only increase in demand in the years ahead. So I will stop there, and there are a number of people who are prepared to share with you their perspectives on this as well.
Okay. Anyone have a question of Representative Opass at this point?
Sure.
Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just very quickly, and I'm supportive of your bill, Representative Opass, but what has been the major rationale under why current law we don't allow this in Minnesota? What's been the sort of public policy argument? And what's perhaps changed here significantly enough for us to overcome that pass?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mariani, I'm not sure that I'm the best person to give that, try to provide a history of that, but we have had a fairly segregated system of higher education historically, with the University of Minnesota being the major research institution, providing the doctorates. The state universities, of course, was a separate system, you know, considered comprehensive universities through the master's degree, and then our two-year and community and technical college systems. And so, and in law, we've defined those missions while the world has been changing around us, and we see more and more community colleges in technical, well, even at the two-year level, we have community combined with technical colleges, state universities that have grown over the years to significant regional institutions. Yet we have a system where, unlike so many states, the University of Minnesota is the only provider, and I think there's pressure at the University of Minnesota to focus more on a research area and a little less on the applied graduate level. So, you know, I think the history created the system that way, but now things have changed in a way I think we need to look at. I know that the University of Minnesota has had and continues to have programs that reach out in combination with state universities, for example, for certain doctorates. But it clearly hasn't met the demand, and one way we know that is by the very large infusion of private colleges into the doctorate market in the state. And but of course, those can be very expensive and difficult to reach for some people as well. So I'm not sure that answers your question. There may be others who can provide a better history.
Before we have Representative Lance, I was going to call on you anyway. I thought maybe you'd like to introduce your visitor.
Oh, sure, I'd be glad to. It's my honor, Mr. Chairman, members of the audience, to introduce my son, Nathan Latz. He's 6 years old. He's in kindergarten. He's learning to read, and he's my chief political advisor. So I'm trying to get him acclimated to the environment.
Very good. You have a question as well?
Yes. Thank you. For him or for Representative Latz?
Mr. Chair, I represent Nathan.
So would I sometimes.
I have a grandson by the name of Nathan also, who is going to be 6 in May. Just a little trivia.
Fine age and fine age.
Question. You have a question.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Opass. Could you help me understand the difference as a practical matter between a doctorate in an applied capacity rather than a PhD, and also understand if there are educational requirements or if there are for certain degrees that need to be obtained in order to teach in other areas. For example, do we need to have PhD level nurses teaching in the nursing degree program at an undergraduate level or at the master's level? Or can you have someone who's had a master's for 15 years teach it? Or how are they meeting that need now?
Representative Wilkins?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Latz, let me try to answer that last piece first. To have an accredited baccalaureate or master's level nursing program, you have to have, if not all of your faculty at the doctorate level, most of them. And so what's happened is that there's been this competition where, for example, at St. Cloud State, we've created a new baccalaureate nursing program with a plan to move to the master's level as well. Well, it's difficult to find doctorate prepared because we wanted a accredited program, and to do that, in many cases, colleges like St. Paul State end up recruiting away from other colleges that limited pool of doctors prepared. As far as I know, and somebody else who is more familiar with nursing can speak to it, but as far as I know, for that level of teaching nursing, the doctorate in nursing is sufficient. It doesn't have to be the PhD. To the earlier part of your question, and again, perhaps somebody else can speak to this as well, the PhD, the Doctor of Philosophy, is heavily emphasizes research, and most people who are pursuing a PhD are pursuing a career in research, and ultimately, in many cases, faculty status at a college or university. So the applied doctorate, the EDD, Education Doctorate, Doctorate of Education, and similar degrees are designed less emphasis on hard research, for example, fewer courses in statistics, research measurement, and the like, and more practical oriented or applications of the discipline for school administration, psychology, actually being a therapist, and the like. So that's a quick description of that distinction. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, approximately what is the cost for the state universities? Would this be a mandate, or would this be something that they could do on their own discretion? And then, as I said, what might the cost be to implement the program?
Representative Opetz.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dempsey, this might be a good time to invite somebody from the State University. I know we have President Davenport from Mankato. Can come forward? Briefly, the expectation is that any doctors provided at the State University system would be less expensive than at the University of Minnesota, and there are a number of reasons for that. And the other piece of this, I don't think anyone expects, at least in the near term, that all of the state universities would be moving to offer the doctorate anytime soon. It would be a select number, depending on the discipline. So why don't I let my colleagues,
Chair Norris and other representatives, I'm Richard Davenport.
Welcome to the committee. Would you grab the microphone and slide it over that way? There you are.
Pleased to be here, President of Minnesota State University, and my colleague.
Please identify yourself.
Sure, Mr. Chair. I'm Wilson Bradshaw, President of Metropolitan State University. I, too, have a nephew named Nathan. Well, let me first of all address the question about the cost issue, which is something that we've examined and looked at. Let me just say that based on our current rates that we charge for a specialist degree, which, by the way, has almost the same number of credits that an applied doctorate would be, and which we've offered for years and years, the cost would be about one-half to one-third the cost of tuition that you might see at a private college or at the University of Minnesota. And the funding for the program, by the way, would be through the normal allocation process. So I don't want to mislead you by suggesting that there's no cost associated with applied doctors, but we would try to adjust the cost of tuition to cover, for the most part, any increased cost associated with it. But we are fairly confident that we can offer the applied doctorate at a level that is very, very competitive and affordable, allowing access by the various populations in greater Minnesota. So first of all, I would say that, and I think Representative Opetz did a very fine job of differentiating between the applied and the traditional doctorate. It's really, the applied doctorate is really a practitioner kind of a doctorate degree. In the area of audiology, for example, the entry level, and the same would apply to physical therapy, the entry level now is the doctorate degree, and those are both applied doctorate degrees. It does not require the PhD. And there are increasing numbers of areas where the applied doctorate is going to be the starting point. So, we've been thinking about the need for the applied doctorate primarily in the greater Minnesota area. And there is really a direct relationship to the outcomes of providing applied doctorates
to that area and to the economic development efforts in those areas, as well as workforce needs. And it is providing a supply, if you will, of educational specialists in whatever area it is to meet the needs of those particular areas. For example, physical therapy, audiology, school psychology, those particular areas that really are not only represented in the metropolitan regions, but also the greater Minnesota region. So that is an important thing to consider. We've done an analysis of the qualifications of the faculty at the MinSCU institutions at the state universities. Roughly 77% of the faculty hold terminal degrees. One of the things that if I were you, I would be asking would be, can you maintain the quality? Can you uphold the quality of a doctoral program? And I would have to say that the standards for doctoral programs, whether they're applied or traditional PhD programs, are governed for the most part not only by the MinSCU Board of Trustees, but even more importantly by the national standards that any institution would have to follow for accreditation of the university, in this case the Higher Learning Commission, or what many of you probably know as the North Central Association. We are confident that we would meet all of those standards and that we would be able to move forward with offering high-quality doctoral programs to meet the needs. The last study that I recall looking at indicated that 43 states allow comprehensive universities such as the state universities under MinSCU to offer applied doctorates. And I would argue that Minnesota has been missing the boat for a few years by not having applied doctorates, having the institutions provide that need. I know the University of Minnesota does a very fine job in what they do, and in no way would we denigrate the good work on their behalf. But they can't do it all. It's a capacity issue. It's like one university can't address all the needs of nursing. And I think that we can play a very vital role in meeting the needs in this area. So with that, I think I'm going to stop and see if there are any questions.
We have a question from Representative Polsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. President Davenport, tuition only covers part of the cost, albeit it's covering less and less as we seem to proceed this legislative session. So how does an institution such as St. Cloud or Mankato come up with the cost of developing a high-level graduate program, given the testimony we've had in this division, this session, where there's been a great need for an influx of state support for the programs that already exist in those institutions? Can you explain how the rest of that cost is going to be covered?
Sure.
It isn't covered by tuition?
Mr. Davenport.
Yes. Chair Nornes and Representative Polowski, let me say that our last estimate in terms of state support for any FTE or credit-produced course is about 49%. And it's fallen over the years from about 75 to 49 where it is right now, which leaves about 51% of the remaining cost to be borne by the student for the most part. The ways in which we're looking at covering that cost, obviously tuition is the primary focus, and there would be, in some cases, differential tuition to be applied to the students. But when we have studied what it would cost to develop those programs and then assess a tuition level on the applied doctoral programs, we discovered even with the increased cost that we would be either one-half or one-third the cost of existing tuition at the private college level as well as at the University of Minnesota. But I think a part of your question, too, is saying, will there be increased cost to the state? And I guess I would have to be honest and say yes. I think we can answer that.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the frankness of the latter part of your answer. But let's assume you do not get increased resources from the state. How does a campus such as Mankato address this need internally?
Well, at Mankato, first of all, the good thing is that we already have the faculty on board, so we don't have the increased cost of going out and searching for new faculty. In addition to that, we have the facilities. We're not talking about building new buildings or adding wings on the building. We're not talking about infusing a lot of money into the library resources, although there would be some, because we already have a fairly service library in terms of publications. And those are the big costs associated with the development of a program. We would be looking at offering doctoral programs through some of the more modern means, which would be some of the programs could be offered online. That is, where students don't have to drive, 300 miles to take a course, but they can take part of their coursework online at a relatively reasonable cost. So that keeps the cost down for the student. And then, as I said, the differential tuition, that is charging a little more for the doctoral program, is not uncommon in any of the states offering doctoral programs. So I think that, in answer to your question, if there was no new money forthcoming, we would pass that on to the students, keep our costs low, but pass that on in terms of increased tuition.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Pulaski,
President Dampart, that's an interesting answer too, because when you say differential tuition, I wonder if we define differential tuition, how close that tuition gets to the price that we're supposed to be saving by the University of Minnesota or a private campus having it. And then just an auxiliary question, how many of the campuses in Minsku would be interested in offering these doctoral programs?
Mr. Davenport.
Chair Nornes and Representative Pulaski, I can answer the last part right away by saying that probably two of the universities are ready to go right now, St. Cloud State University and Minnesota State at Mankato. And also we have a colleague here that can speak to that issue as well. But in regards to the cost aspect of this, the first part of your question was...
Well, Mr. Chair, President Davenport, when you say differential tuition, that's an interesting term. So if I were to define differential tuition and put a number to it, how close is that number, for instance, to the tuition at University of Minnesota or at a private college that would be offering the same degree?
Mr. Davenport.
Chair Nornes, Representative Pulaski, I think I can give you an example of how it would compare. We have specialist degrees right now, and a specialist degree, as I mentioned early on, is very comparable to an applied doctorate. Our tuition for the specialist degree is, as I said before, about one-third to one-half of what a doctorate degree offered by a private institution or by the University of Minnesota. So I would anticipate with differential tuition that we would still come in at about that level.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, President Davenport, one last question. I think I have several others, but can you give a number to the individuals who would be interested in a program at either Mankato or St. Cloud? Is it 20, 30, 50? Are we looking at that number per year or per semester? Or can you give an idea of what we're looking at here, what the need really is?
Mr. Davenport.
Chair Nornes, Representative Pulaski, one of the reasons it's difficult to put a number on that right now, and we have done some surveys through Minsku that are a couple of years old, is that the legislation that's currently in place disallows us from planning and talking about doctoral degrees. Therefore, we've been somewhat limited in our ability to ascertain what the need is. So a lot of what we hear is anecdotal. For example, there was a situation in Moorhead, just to use that as an example, where there were more than 200 students, traditional students, interested in a doctoral program in educational administration. University of Minnesota came in, had a cohort of roughly 30 students. There's still 170 students remaining. They were not able to sustain another cohort in that area because of the tremendous need in other parts of the state. And so when they left Moorhead without meeting the needs of the other 170 students, there, when asked why, they said, because we're needed in this other part of the state. We have to take care of their needs. And so, you know, a lot of what I could give you, one anecdote after another, similar to that, that suggests there is a low need.
Mr. Chair, President Davenport, I just received a packet on my desk, and Minnesota Nurses gave us a letter in support of this bill. Charlie Kite, I think, is up to testify today, support of this bill. The school counselors are in support of this bill. And there are several other groups. I would think that they would have a quantifiable number for us, that if they could come up and testify, certainly they must have numbers of individuals who would be in need of a degree and would seek it at either St. Cloud or Mankato, assuming that the demand is perhaps just as great in greater Minnesota as it is in the metropolitan area. So I'd be interested to listen to these groups and tell us the numbers specifically of individuals who are in need of the degree but can't get it from the University of Minnesota because the university just can't, as Representative Olpad said, supply the need. You don't need to answer that. That's just an observation.
Do you want to identify yourself once again for the record?
Mr. Chair, Wilson Bradshaw, President of Metropolitan State University. I'm my fifth year in that position. I'd just like to add just a couple of points. One, to punctuate what has been said before, starting a doctoral program, be it applied or a PhD, can be a very expensive enterprise. I think what Minsky brings to the table is that none of the programs that we envision, at least early on, would be starting from scratch. As President Davenport indicated, we have at least two universities within our system that have a wide range of master's and specialist degree programs that have the highest quality. I think going to the next level for an applied doctorate, well, again, not a zero cost, but it's certainly not starting from scratch. I think another strength that Minsky can bring to the table for offering doctoral programs is that we have seven universities with faculty members who can collaborate in offering these degree programs so that the burden wouldn't have to fall exclusively on one university. I think President Davenport is correct in saying that Minnesota State University at Mankato and St. Cloud State University would be the two universities that certainly would be, I believe, in the front of the line in developing and implementing applied doctoral degree programs. But I do think that Metropolitan State, Southwest Minnesota State, Bemidji, Winona, Moorhead all have faculty who could participate in the delivery of those doctoral programs in greater Minnesota. And I think that's a strength that that we bring to offering, to developing and implementing applied doctoral programs.
Thank you. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, a question of Dr. Bradshaw. The references to two campuses ready to go, I'm interested being that you're here representing the state university system, and you didn't mention Metro as being to the forefront, but possibly back a bit. And what would be the timeline for Metro? And let me give you a little background why I raised the question. In years past, and I don't know if it predated you or if it was part of your administration, but Metro was expressing a lot of interest in lower division undergraduate as the way in which they wanted to expand. How are you doing in that regard, and where does this fit within Metro's long-range plan, then, if your goal still is to expand in the lower division? I was encouraging you a few years ago to go the other way, quite frankly, to continue to expand your upper division because you had limited offerings there. My argument was that the community colleges were pretty good feeder system within at least the metropolitan area, and well, in other parts of the state as well, but especially in the metropolitan area. So if you could share with us what your thinking is relative to an applied doctorate at Metro State, being that you've had this history of looking in other directions for your expansion and growth.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, Metropolitan State is fully prepared to participate with our sister institutions in certain areas in offering the applied doctoral program. I think we are a long way from developing and implementing our own doctoral program. We're new in education. Our teacher education program started just a couple of years ago. So again, I think our faculty are prepared and qualified to teach in doctoral programs, the applied doctoral programs. But as an institution, we're not prepared to go forward in developing in that area, not in the foreseeable future, in my opinion. With regard to the lower division, we have a lower division, as you point out. It's about 25% of our overall enrollment, and we plan to keep it at or around 25% because we have 10 sister two-year institutions in the metropolitan area, and we're relying on them to provide, for the most part, the first 2 years of a four-year degree program. So while in the past maybe leadership at the university saw a more expansive lower division, that is not part of our strategic plan currently. We work very closely with the other members of the Metro Alliance, and they provide us with very strong, well-prepared juniors and seniors to our upper division and later on to our graduate program.
So, Mr. Chairman, if you're basically going to hold at a roughly 25% of your programs being the lower division, as you look at growth and expansion, and I think there's obviously a lot of potential there with Metro, just if no other reason, the sheer growth of the metropolitan area, do you see yourself expanding more master's degree offerings and then later the applied doctorate, or would you move into the applied doctorate? And maybe a part of that, how many master's degree programs do you have at Metro now?
We have seven master's degree programs.
Seven, okay. And a typical state university would have?
70.
About 70. So, hence my comment earlier, by the way, Mr. Chairman, which was my encouragement years ago was to go with the upper division master level rather than lower division, but be that as it may, if you're kind of where you want to be and one thing and another, that's fine. But so where would you go first? Expanding the number of master's offerings or the applied doctorate? And I understand what you're saying where you'd be complementing the the others, but I'm looking at it long term.
As
when you begin to answer the question, well, we've been complimenting the other state universities, and now we want to make it on our own.
Mr. Bradshaw.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, we plan to develop more master's degree programs and some selected baccalaureate degree programs in high demand areas. We were just recently approved for two new baccalaureate degree programs, one in computer forensics, which we think is going to be very important given the state of affairs of the world today, and also in information assurance, a baccalaureate degree program that we developed with MCTC. Since the year 2000, we've added a master's degree in community psychology, a master's in management information systems, a master's in technical communications. Those are the kinds of areas we see our growth and expansion in the in the near future. I can't sit here today, Representative Carlson and members of the committee, and predict when we will move into the applied doctoral area. As a standalone institution, I think we're very prepared to collaborate with our sister universities in the system to offer doctoral programs in the applied areas mentioned.
Mr. Chair, that's not the point I'm arguing, if I'm even arguing a point. I'm just trying to get a feel for where Metro is coming at it from, being that you're still in the process of developing graduate programs at the master's level, and when the opportunity presented itself, what your general direction would be, not necessarily when.
Okay, certainly, Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, when the opportunity presents itself and the institution determines that it's ready to proceed in that direction, it should be encouraged to do so.
Thank you.
We have at least four other testifiers on this bill. We have some questions to get to yet. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mine will be short. President Davenport, I'm particularly concerned about the impact of the nursing shortage on rural Minnesota. And I want to know if there's a shortage of instructors in the nursing program, and what effect an applied doctoral program would have on that shortage.
President Davenport.
Mr. Chair, Representative Udall, thank you for asking that question. It's at the heart of the issue. It's at the heart of the question about meeting workforce needs, which I started out with. Nursing is a beautiful example because we all know of the tremendous nursing shortage around the state. And the only way we can address the nursing shortage is to have nurse educators with the terminal degree. The accreditation standards by the nursing organizations require the terminal degree, or in this case, the applied doctorate. And what's happened is many of those nurses are being sought after by hospitals and other organizations because there's a great need for that higher level training. With increased numbers of nurse educators, our institutions can then be prepared to offer more cohorts, accept more students in nursing around the state, and begin to address the supply issue and to meet the need. And that is exactly what we would do in this case. And we have some of the best nursing faculty in the state that we'd be prepared to hoist up an applied nursing doctorate program to meet that need. And I would say it's a capacity issue that we can't address until we have an applied doctorate that allows us to do that. Thank you. Thank
you. Representative Mariano, you still have a question?
Well, yeah, I'll try to make it real short. Mr. Chair, and, I was intrigued by Representative Carlson's questions with Dr. Bradshaw, because I'm trying to think about a couple of things, and one is thinking about a state where we match up these offerings where we have demographic growth. And Dr. Davenport, you cited an example. Moorhead obviously was a huge demand of 200 anecdotal. We were interested in that program, so that seems to meet an important standard in my mind. But I also know that part of the discussion in higher ed has to be, how do we match up opportunities for the fastest growing student population group, which tends to be out of communities of color? And in my mind, the worst case scenario would be that we set up terrific applied doctorate offerings that are about as far away physically from those communities as possible. And that's not an argument for not doing anything in Moorhead or Mankato State, not at all. So my questions generally have to do with, how do you all, if you do at all, think about these issues? And I think, Dr. Bradshaw, you hit it a little bit in response to Representative Carlson, that you have a Metro Alliance within which you can think about these things and then kind of align and collaborate with one another. But so it's kind of a generally open question. How do we move forward? How do you all move forward in terms of thinking about how to make these opportunities accessible to a broad student base as possible, and particularly for the growing communities of color, which hopefully will get increasing numbers of people out of undergraduates and into higher degrees.
Representative Bradshaw.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mariani. The Minnesota State College and University system is growing and maturing in ways that maybe that we have to. We have learned and are learning how to bring high-demand degree programs that are offered not in the metropolitan state area by some of our sister institutions into the metropolitan area. Currently, Metropolitan State collaborates with, for instance, St. Cloud State on a master's degree program in engineering management, which we cannot offer, but there's a demand here in the cities for that degree program, and we can participate in bringing that program to the cities. President Davenport indicated earlier that no longer are our programs time and place dependent. Mm-hmm. We can bring programs to where they're needed, and I think that is that's a strength of a system like ours. There's been a lot of discussion this past year on a graduate teacher education center here in the Twin Cities that would offer graduate opportunities for in-service teachers and public school administrators, using resources from institutions outside of the metropolitan area. So I think the Minnesota State College and University system is realizing new ways to bring programs to where they're needed. So not just to greater Minnesota, but to those populations that are growing and those populations that need them here in the cities.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, thank you. This is to President Davenport. President Davenport, what you presented to us with the OPATS bill is a bill that has a limited focus, two of the state universities at the present time, a bill that we hope addresses a demonstrable need. We'll see that as we progress perhaps today with the hearing. Tell me, if we were to incorporate this into the omnibus bill and it were to be passed, would this enhance Mankato's possibilities as a center of excellence under the governor's proposal?
President,
Mr. Chair, Representative Pulaski, I hadn't really thought of it from that standpoint, but it would depend certainly upon what the center of excellence area would be, that is the applied doctorate program that we'd be looking at. It definitely could have that impact. But I think that when I started talking about applied doctorates addressing economic development throughout Minnesota and meeting workforce needs, I think that is the heart of the Centers of Excellence concept. So I would say yes.
Mr. Chair, President Davenport, can you just tell me, frankly, would it make Mankato a better university?
Well, I think, Mr. Chair, Representative Pulaski, that's a difficult question to answer. I have to sort of humbly say that
don't be
our
humble. Let's be
direct and honest.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to be. Well, certainly it would change the institutional focus somewhat. And would it make it a better university? I think it would provide us, it would make us better in the context of us being able to provide and meet the needs of our public. And from that standpoint, yes, it would be better. But I don't think it's a status or prestige issue. It's more of what's the need, how can we meet that need, and if we do a better job of meeting that need, then we are a better institution for that reason. And if I can add one other thing at this time, I was very interested in the Representative Mirioni's question a second ago, because President Bradshaw and I just recently have had some conversations. We've been talking a lot about greater Minnesota, but the metropolitan area is the fastest growing area, and the need for applied doctorates would be tremendous here as well. And as we've had our discussions as colleagues, we've talked about how we can work together rather than reinventing the wheel. So we have 70-some graduate programs. St. Cloud has at least 70 or so. That's 140 graduate programs, not to mention any new doctorates that would be started. You know, why would we not want to use the momentum that we already have in place to meet some of the needs here, working, of course, through Metropolitan State and with the support in cooperation of President Bradshaw. So we're very much into the concept of collaboration, and I think it does address the underrepresented populations as we try to provide opportunities for them. Thank you.
Chairman, Representative Pulaski, maybe if I could be permitted to provide maybe a less modest answer than my colleague about what it means for an institution to begin to offer doctoral programs. It is a significant change in an institution, one that requires approval for institutional change by our accrediting association, the North Central Association, now the Higher Learning Commission. So it is not that the institution will change in all ways, but it will change in significant ways, ways that the higher ed community recognizes as the institution as being different than what it was before it offered doctoral programs.
Mr. Chair, President Bradshaw, I appreciate that. And the reason why I brought up centers of excellence was the discussion that we had here earlier, that this would take also a commitment of resources. And under the governor's proposal, a center of excellence would get a fenced amount of resources that other institutions in the system would not get. So the reason why I brought it up would be if we're searching for ways to articulate what is a center of excellence, perhaps this is one of the ways.
Representative Opatz, we need to call a few of your other witnesses.
I think there are a couple
sure.
more items.
On the list, I think Charlie Kite.
I actually have Mr. Kite.
Yeah, Charlie Kite is on my list here. We do have one more bill, hopefully to get to before we're done today, too. So. Yes. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Charlie Kite. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. We represent all the school superintendents, most of the special ed directors, and many of the system superintendents in the state. I'll just make my comments quite brief. First of all, there is a growing need to train more and more licensed administrators in this state. And the reason is that the turnover is significant. In fact, we're turning over so many administrators and superintendents right now, it's a little scary for us to even find enough people. Our new and aspiring members really want to pursue more than the basic licensure degree, and they're interested in pursuing a doctorate where they can. And the Minnesota college system is well placed in terms of geographics to help our people to get to these programs. Most of the people that are training are already working full-time. They're trying to take these courses and supplement the full-time jobs. Finally, I'd just like to say that there is a huge value of a college being able to offer a doctoral program. I'd like to point this out in two ways. First of all, the people who are leading the schools need to have a better basis in research. They need to be more skilled in data analysis, analyzing what's going on in their schools so that they can take the need for accountability and really move our systems in positive ways. The more they're involved in more of a research component in their training, which comes to you through either applied or research doctorates, is a positive add for them. And finally, we also recognize that those colleges that can offer a doctoral program, by the nature of the fact that they're offering the program, are required themselves to even lift the level of rigor higher. These are very complex jobs that we're asking people to do, and we need our people to be as well trained as possible. Those are some brief comments. I'll answer a question or two if you have them.
Representative Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kite, what does your organization do now to facilitate someone from, I believe the president's called it a terminal degree, to a degree, an EDD degree, a doctorate degree?
Well, there's two, Representative Pulaski and members of the committee, there's two different approaches here. One is the approach where a person, while they are working on their degree, actually are pursuing a doctorate in companion with the licensure process. The other is to try to have people move forward and actually obtain a doctorate after they've gotten their licensure kind of level. As an association, we're doing several things. We hold workshops, in our particular case, because we represent superintendents, we're constantly holding workshops for principals, elementary and secondary principals, other mid-management people, to try to encourage them to go back and get their licenses for the higher degree. We are encouraging them to consider going to the doctoral programs. We're also we're working very actively with fairly significant groups of our members on advisory committees in doctoral programs, or two doctoral programs at the university and also at the private colleges at this point, trying to encourage creating programs that will get more people to pursue the doctorate.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How many individuals are out there now that want this degree? Can you quantify that in any way?
Representative Pulaski, while you asked that question earlier, I did some work on the back of an envelope, and if you'll excuse the roughness of my calculation.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Kite, I think Lincoln used to work that way. It worked out.
Well, great! What a great, wonderful comparison. But right now there are about there are roughly 6,000 to 7,000 school administrators in the state. The turnover that we're experiencing is right around 15% annually. Of that 15%, I'll get to my answer very quickly. Of that 15%, about half of these people are new entries into the profession. Half of them are people moving from one place to another. So you can back that number down to around 8%. 8% turnover of our base group of principals, superintendents, middle-level people would give you about 500 new people entering into administration each year. We think that about 30% of those 500 are interested in pursuing doctorates. So we have at least the need for 150, if not reaching towards 200 people earning doctorates annually.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Kite, then the University of Minnesota could not satisfy that need?
Mr. Kite.
And if they couldn't satisfy, could you articulate why not?
Representative Pulaski, I actually have a PhD from the University of Minnesota, so I have some understanding of the size of the program. It seems to me that is more doctorates than the university would comfortably be able to put out per year. Now, you'll have to ask the university for that number more specifically, but there's two issues. One is how many people can get to the university, where the programs are located. The university obviously could offer programs, kind of a cohort type of program around the state, as can private colleges. The Minsky system does have the geographically located universities that people can get to rather easily.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Kite, how many of your members said cost was an issue? Just the difference, that it's too costly to get a doctoral degree from the University of Minnesota.
Mr. Kite.
Representative Pulaski and members of the committee, I don't have that information exactly. The cost breaks down into two issues. One is tuition, and the other is the cost of getting to the program. I reflect back when I earned my degree. I was living by St. Cloud, and at that time, I drove both to the university and back and forth thousands and thousands of miles, plus I paid the tuition. So there were two costs that were associated with it.
Mr. Chair,
one
other question with this. Do you have any data on the number of individuals in your organization that got their doctoral degrees but got them from a different state, Wisconsin, for instance, rather than Minnesota, because of either the cost or the difficulty, the lack of accessibility to the degree?
Mr. Craig.
Representative Pulaski, I don't have specific data on that. I would say this, is that we have a small percentage of the people who work as superintendents in Minnesota that come from other states. This is a sort of a job that is that in which people move from state to state sometime. Typically, people will have their doctorate degrees in the state they are most anchored in. So, as an example, Ted Blazing, superintendent at White Bear Lake, received his doctorate degree in Wisconsin, but he also was a superintendent and an administrator and a teacher for quite some time in that state. So that's where his doctorate would have come from.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Erdahl, I guess, has a question.
Thank you. Representative Norris, just very quickly, Mr. Kite, will you employed when you were working for your doctorate?
Mr. Representative Erdahl and members of the committee, yes, I was. I was actually the superintendent at Eden Valley Watkins, which is up by the St. Cloud area, and did my doctorate nights, weekends, summer, and probably kind of missed raising my kids for a period of time.
Thank you, Mr. Craig. I just wanted to get that in because I do represent Eden Valley Watkins.
Thank you.
Russ Stanton. Thank you, by the way, for your testimony. Please identify yourself.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Russ Stanton, Director of Government Relations for the Interfaculty Organization, which is the faculty at the seven state universities. I'll try to be brief because this is getting quite long. The Interfaculty Organization, who would be the people teaching the programs under this bill, strongly support the bill. We believe that it's an appropriate mission change for the state universities, and it would be in the best interest of both the students and the state. Recently, the Citizens League, in their report on reform of higher education, spelled out what they thought the appropriate focuses of the U of M and the Minsky should be. And one of the focuses that they recommended for Minsky is postgraduate degree programs that are relatively low cost, applied and conducted in high growth employment fields. And that's precisely what this bill is aimed at enabling. As you heard, state universities are in a strategically good position to offer this because they're spread around the state, more accessible to place-bound working professionals. But they're also highly efficient and therefore low cost to students. And the main reason for this, and I'm somewhat embarrassed as a union official to say this, is because our faculty are paid a lot less and they carry heavier loads. and this translates into lower costs to the student. Give you an example of the lower cost to the students in graduate education. State universities, the tuition rates are about $209 to $241 per credit. At the U of M, for six credits or less, we're looking at a cost of $681 per credit. 12 credits, you're at $341 per credit. And if you look at the private sector, what you know, Capella and Argosy and so forth are charging, at $750 a credit. So we feel that we could offer it at a much more affordable cost to the student. Now, I want to point out that this is enabling legislation, not limiting legislation. This legislation would not limit the University of Minnesota from or the privates from doing anything that they're currently doing, and it wouldn't limit them from expanding anything that they're currently doing. But what it does do is do away with a limit. Right now, the state universities are the only institutions that are limited from getting into this field and competing in this field. And we think competition is good. We hear this all the time. You know, competition is good. We believe that we should be able to compete, and it's good for everyone because it forces people to give the kinds of education that people want, when they want it, where they want it, the quality they want, and at an affordable price. Finally, our faculty are highly qualified to deliver this program. Almost all of our faculty have terminal degrees, the highest degree in their field. They teach 163 graduate and 4 postgraduate certificate programs. As a matter of fact, when the University of Minnesota takes a cohort out into the rural area, they frequently hire our faculty to actually teach the courses. And certainly they have credentials that are ever bit the match of or exceed some of the online graduate programs that are being provided and are authorized in this state. So in conclusion, our faculty would like to teach these students. They could do it efficiently. It would be good for students, and they can meet some of the critical needs of the state. Thank you.
Senator Mariani.
Sure, just very quickly, Mr. Stanton. Should we be concerned at all about any possible disconnect between knowledge that exists in a research-based degree versus knowledge that exists in applied base. In other words, are we creating a disconnect between, you know, at the University of Minnesota, you now have, you know, high-level research-based, you have high-level degrees and PhDs, you get your applied degrees. I'm not sure how they're structured and how they interrelate in terms of their interaction with students. Do we create any kind of a problem now by potentially disconnecting even within one field, two levels of doctorate degrees and how they inform one another?
Mr. Stanton.
Madam Chair, Representative Mariani. I don't think so. I think the connection still exists through the faculty member. Most of our faculty have research-based degrees, and they're transferring that to, you know, the applied level.
Thank you very much. Representative Carlson.
This is for the author, Mr. Chairman, unless you had other people.
We have two others that need to speak.
I'll wait.
Linda.
Dr. Bear.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
Thank you, Chair Nornes. I'm Linda Baer, the Senior Vice Chancellor for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. You've had extensive conversation. I'd like to just bring in maybe three other points to the conversation. One has to do with where the state of Minnesota is in the offering of doctoral degrees. We are one of seven states that only have one public doctoral institution, and the other six have considerably lower populations that they serve. Second, Minnesota has fewer public doctoral institutions than other states with comparable populations. And finally, we have the fewest in the doctoral institutions in the upper Midwest, including, I can just show you, for example, that Iowa has 3, South Dakota has 3, North Dakota has 2, and Wisconsin has 2 doctoral granting, and then we're at 1. So that's one piece of information. The second piece has to do with the need, and you've had several questions on how do we know about the need. We are in the process of surveying those professional organizations, but for data that I have currently, comparing occupational projections from 2002 to 2012 for the state, the counseling psychology information says that there will be 1,139 openings for clinical counseling and school psychologists, or about 114 per year. Second, if we talked about the admin, and Charlie Kite certainly talked about that, but our surplus or our needs, our declining numbers vary by region, certainly, but he indicated that we would be at about 133 per year for post-secondary administrators, and we'd probably be at 94 to 100 for the elementary administrators. And then for nursing, as was pointed out, our need there is very critical because it's connected to our whole pipeline of increasing our allied health professionals. And we have several reports done on healthcare education, but in that it might go to Representative Mariani's conversation about what's different in an applied versus a research-oriented doctorate. Actually, the applied expands the knowledge base for those people and then also expands their capacity to take it into the field more directly. We also see that it could increase safety in hospitals because of more education on the ground, and then potentially higher productivity because of people being educated in that way. I could give you a few statistics, certainly about nursing, where we've got about 70% of our nursing faculty are age 50 or over, and so that's telling us something. And then finally, another field we've been talking about because of the requirements of the professional degree would be audiology. And there we're also talking about potentially about 72 openings over that 10-year period, so not as much there. Finally, in closing, I guess I would just like to say that we have had a long time in reviewing this. I have a chronology of how long we've been talking about this, and our campuses are ready to take on this challenge, and I think the state needs this additional opportunity in terms of the applied doctoral degrees. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe we have one. Representative Pulaski.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Vice Chancellor Baer, I'm looking at slide 28 of the January 19, 2005 budget presentation, your strategic priorities. I'm wondering why, since you've just said you have a long chronology of this particular issue, I'm wondering why this wasn't specifically included in the strategic priorities of MNSCU, and why it takes a bill from Representative Opatz and others, of which I am one of the others, to have it before the committee.
Chair Nornes and Representative Pulaski, the language actually is prohibitive to us to even study this topic. And while our board did have the review of this from the 1999 request of us to study, the language still says we are prohibited from even studying this opportunity.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chancellor Baer, I'm not asking you to study it. I'm wondering why there wasn't a statement in your strategic priorities to at least do what Representative Opatz is doing in the bill. I mean, if the need's been there, we've had this issue here before. What you've done, and if I walk through the bullet points, for instance, nursing, you do mention bachelor's. Why there wasn't a discussion in your strategic priorities of this need, and I agree with you it's a need, but it would seem to be an oversight not to have it here.
Chair Nornes and Representative Pulaski, actually in our request for nursing, the nursing support, we actually do describe our need for more doctoral nurses, and we have a plan in that legislative language to assist us in getting more people into the doctoral programs.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chancellor Barrett, I'd like to see it. Thank you.
Representative Mariani.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I haven't sat on the higher ed committee since the early 90s, but just, you know, for the record, I think it's kind of silly that we would pass language and statute that prohibits any of our systems to study anything that they, in their wisdom, might think we should at least look at. We're not the higher ed experts here. You know, you folks in the field are. But my question has to do with the underrepresented issue that I raised with Dr. Bradshaw. Is the MNSCU system, and you and I, Dr. Baer, have worked on these issues over the past few years, but is the system prepared to measure how well it does in terms of access to these degrees if they're offered by underrepresented students and hold itself accountable in some way?
Chairman Ernest and Representative Mariani, absolutely. In fact, we can point to St. Cloud State, who already has a strong record of encouraging doctoral students who they invite in for summer stipends and institute where they are allowed to come and actually teach during the summer to encourage them to be able to finish their doctorates and also hopefully to then stay in our state. So that's one example of what we're already doing. But yes, I could speak for the system to say we are ready to be held accountable.
Thank you very much. Martin Sampson. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself.
Thank you very much, Representative Nornes. My name is Martin Sampson. I'm in the Political Science Department at the University of Minnesota. I'm one of two faculty liaisons to the legislature, and I'm here to speak in opposition to the proposal. Part of the context is that the University of Minnesota is opposed to a blurring of what has been one of the clear-cut distinctions in mission between Minsky and the University of Minnesota. And I think particularly opposed to that at a time that is a time of tremendous financial stress for all levels of education in the state of Minnesota. As various neutral groups have looked at the question of how higher education should be organized in the state, the notion that Minsky should get into the doctoral business has not, so far as I know, been a prominent part of people's thinking and people's reactions. And I think particularly at a time of financial stress, the reasons for that are quite cogent. There are three specific things I would like to say. One is that for some of the areas mentioned here, both geographic and areas of study, there already are doctoral programs being offered by the university in connection with Minsky in places like St. Cloud and Mankato, and I understand Rochester as well. A program in educational administration is one of those. I'm informed that if you get a degree in educational administration, you write a thesis, you do an original piece of research. The requirement isn't that it be a conceptual breakthrough in some major way. The requirement is that, in fact, you carry out research. And as anybody knows who has been through a doctoral program, a research project is a traditional mark of doctoral education. B, it's also a major cost of running those programs, because the task of helping somebody define a research question, develop a methodology, and then once they've done the research, to pull that into some kind of coherent, clear statement is something that requires a lot of one-on-one work between a faculty advisor and the candidate. The model that's already in place with the U of M Minsky cooperation is a model that puts those that operates without putting all of those costs on the Minsky system. So that's one point. Second point is that there's a fair amount of ambiguity in the question of how the changing needs in regard to credentials, the needs of the state and so forth, actually are going to relate to the concept of an applied doctorate. I want to speak about nursing and relay what I have learned recently in regard to nursing in this context. As I understand, March 1st, something called the Minnesota Nursing Education Forum met in Minneapolis. It's a path-breaking thing in terms of national what's happening in other states. It's exactly the sort of thing that illustrates the kind of ingenuity that I think has thrived in Minnesota. It brought together, as I understand, all the deans of nursing programs in the state of Minnesota. It brought together LPNs to nurses with doctoral level degrees, and it was the first of what will be a series of discussions to address the question of, given the tremendous needs, given the resources in Minnesota, what is the best way that we can answer the challenge that confronts nursing education? As I understand, nobody else in the country has done this on as broad a scope, and I would expect that what comes out of this turns out to be a model that Minnesota presents for other parts of the country. So two things I would note from this. Number one, it could be that the nursing community, as it develops its ideas, that someplace down the road says that Minsky offering applied doctoral degrees could be a very significant part of the solution to the existing problem. That, in my mind, would be a very appropriate avenue for consideration of the kind of legislative change that is proposed here. The nursing group is not yet at that point. Number two, and this may be the more intriguing thing, before the nursing group would get to that point, they would have to decide what, in fact, a, quote, applied doctorate, end quote, means in the field of nursing. I am told there is huge uncertainty in the higher education circles of nursing in regard to what is viewed as an innovative concept on the doctoral level, in fact, should or should not require. There is a name, it would be called the DNP. But does it require a thesis? Does it require student research? That's not clear. And if in the field of nursing, the concept of an applied doctorate is unclear, it's an illustration, I think, of what appears to be the cart overtaking the horse in regard to moving with this proposed change at this time. The third point is the following. Applied doctorate is not defined in this legislation. An applied doctorate not only is an ambiguous concept in the higher education circles of nursing, it's ambiguous in other ways as well. Is the applied part the nature of the curriculum, or is the applied part the intent of the student who enrolls in the program? Most of the discussion here has focused on the latter, and that, of course, is legitimate. But it underscores, I think, that this phrase could cover a whole lot of different things, some of which are relatively inexpensive to run, some of which are not inexpensive to run. The phrase could be understood as degrees that require no research. It could be understood as degrees that require research as part of the education of someone who would be a practitioner. And let me refer to clinical psychology as an example. There are a couple of routes a clinical psychologist, an aspiring clinical psychologist, can go. One is to get a PhD, which requires a research project, and which is premised on the notion that a student doing research is learning things about the scientific method that will enhance the quality of what that individual does as a practicing clinical psychologist. There's a different way to go, which is something, as I understand, called a PsyD, which is a degree that does not involve any kind of original research. Which is the applied doctorate? Well, one could argue that both are the applied doctorate. Which is the less expensive to run? The answer to that is very, very clear. That the PsyD does not have the overhead costs of faculty having to supervise students, to work with students in regard to doing an original piece of research. Again, the real point here, which may sound like a technicality, is that the cost implications are very significant, depending upon how one understands the concept of applied doctorate. I could say more about the discovery, which was new for me in the past week, of the extent to which this concept, applied doctorate, quote, end quote, is seen as an innovation in doctoral level education that at the moment refers to a debate rather than to a clearly defined educational approach. So my conclusion then is two points. The proposed change is only a two-word change, but those two words are a phrase that is not very well defined yet in regards to doctoral level education. In fact, it's a phrase that pertains to a very lively and I think a very appropriate debate in the realm of doctoral level education. And the observation I would offer then is that I think it was unwise in 2005 to amend the Higher Education Act with a two-word phrase that in fact is a buzzword for an ongoing debate in the halls of higher education. It's a phrase that is very difficult to tie down in regard to the financial implications, because how you interpret that has a lot to do with the cost of the program you would run. The other concluding point simply is that this undermines what has been a basic delineation of mission between MinSCU and the University of Minnesota, and it does so at a time of very significant financial stress for the entire educational apparatus of the state of Minnesota. Doing this will create new tails will create tails for future budgets, and that in turn, I think, raises questions about the importance of maintaining the current delineation of mission. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, Dr. Sampson. Thank you. You've raised some important issues for us to think about, but I was just checking quickly here with my colleagues around this issue of, and perhaps Representative Olpatz could help on this issue of what's an applied doctorate versus what's a another type of doctorate, research-based doctorate. I don't know what that is. And my question is whether or not we define that in state statute currently. And I don't think we do. So that's question number one.
Representative Mariani, I can't answer the question about state statute. I can tell you that last week, after the Senate hearing of this bill, I made some calls to the graduate school, talked to the person who was sort of the gatekeeper for all proposals for new graduate-level programs, and was told that the phrase applied doctorate pertains to very, very few programs, in fact, at the University of Minnesota, which runs a whole bevy of doctoral-level things that are used by practitioners. That, for me, was an eye-opener. It was an eye-opener into a debate underway in the halls of higher education that's prompted, I think, by credential creep. It's prompted by questions of how, with fewer resources, do you train the next level of next generation of professionals and so forth. So the answer would be, if it's defined in Minnesota statute, Minnesota is a step, the statute would be a step ahead of the National Council of Graduate Education.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair. Go ahead.
Representative Mariani.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, and I'd love to take that distinction, but I doubt that we will. And maybe later we can hear from Representative Olpatz and others about this issue of definition of statute. But what I'm hearing you saying is that there's an evolution that just sort of naturally goes on within these departments. They respond to, you know, whatever, you know, forces are out there, and, you know, over time you develop programs, and that there's a need for sort of some kind of ongoing thinking and review of that. But let me ask you something else, because one of the things that we're hearing repeatedly is a desire, or at least a strong exploration on the part of the University of Minnesota to become a world-class research-based institution of the highest order, and that has raised some issues for everyone about access to the University of Minnesota. We usually kind of think about those in terms of undergrad access, but my question is, would it be logical for the University of Minnesota, if it wants to move aggressively in this direction of a world-class, highest-order research-based institution, to perhaps then begin thinking about how it can free up some of its energies in regards to the amount of work it takes to produce candidates with applied doctorate degrees, to loosen that up with some other partners and to create other avenues for that, so that, in fact, the university can pursue and put much more energy into that new emerging goal. I mean, I'm kind of hearing perhaps a bit of a dissonance here in terms of this debate on that.
Chair Nomis and Representative Mariani, the university already does put a fair amount of effort into applied things, and the area of clinical psychology is one of those. The competition that the university, I think, pivots off is national-level competition in regard to departments of psychology, and increasingly probably world competition. Seems to me that's very good for the quality of what a Minnesotan gets as that person pursues a PhD in psychology at the University of Minnesota, and does so as getting an applied degree. Okay, I mean, the person's going to be a clinical practitioner, but the pedagogical decision that has been made is that giving people direct experience with a scientific method in the form of asking them to do their own research project is going to produce a more competent, capable, imaginative clinical psychologist from the perspective of that person using the scientific method in her career or his career. If you make that choice, you have opted to provide education to practitioners at a doctoral level in a way that has very high costs, because there's no way to run that kind of program without a lot of one-on-one work between a member of the faculty and the doctoral candidate. And at a research university, you cover those costs in part by research grants and those kinds of things. So I think the distinction doesn't exactly engage what's happening. It's not a question of should a research university disappear into the ozone layer with very, very hypothetical things. I think the University of Minnesota has a long tradition of attention to practical kinds of needs of the state, providing people with very high quality professional credentials so that they can carry out a whole lot of various kinds of roles in the state. So I think the distinction doesn't quite address what's happening here.
Before your follow-up, I'd like to make just one quick announcement. For the members of the audience here to testify on House File 602, we're going to carry that bill over to Wednesday the 23rd. So that we will not have time today to give it adequate amount of time, so that will be rescheduled for that Wednesday, the 23rd. So thank you for your patience. Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the careful attention that you're allowing the committee to have on this bill. It raises a number of important issues that we need to move deliberately on. My sort of follow-up to my last question then is, it seems to me that I can see a scenario where if you have these, and I understand that, I think you make an argument on why you need to keep all these things together because they inform one another, and I mean, it's logical to me. But I could see a scenario where you could perhaps have the same kind of relationship with much greater or much more complex interactions with Minsky campuses. You already have a model through which you're delivering, that form of education for candidates in tandem with Minsky professors and working through different campuses around the state. And it seems to me that maybe the opportunity here is an opportunity to take that sort of to a next level, a higher level, if in fact those campuses can now be in a position to offer those degrees. And sort of type of that thinking for me is that it seems to me that it's the accrediting bodies in the end that have a say on whether or not, you know, an applied doctorate program in Area X is a valid applied doctorate program in Valid X, and if the accrediting entities are okay with Minnesota State Mankato doing that, I'm not sure that I'm in a position to overrule, you know, their judgment on that.
Chairman Ernest, Representative Mariani.
Mr. Sampson.
I don't think it's a problem of accreditation. I mean, if you know you're running a doctoral program, you may recruit faculty somewhat differently than you recruit them if you are only running MA and undergraduate programs. But as somebody with a PhD credential is understood as somebody who has qualifications for teaching in a doctoral program. So it's not the accreditation thing that worries me. What worries me, I think, is how elusive the cost part of this is. If the intent here is that Minsky would offer degrees that have no research component as part of a requirement, you then are in a realm of much lower cost doctoral level education than you are if you are providing to future practitioners, I mean, people who aren't going to be academics, they're not going to be professional researchers, they're practitioners, then if you're providing those people a mode of doctoral level education that has what doctoral level education has always had, namely some kind of fairly heavy requirement for doing original research. And if you are going that way, then there's some virtue, I think, that is getting lost in the shuffle of thinking more extensively about the current, or about the template that exists from some of the current practice. That UofM Minsky relationships in these kinds of programs put a lot of that cost back on the University of Minnesota, which as a place that grants doctoral degrees is equipped to absorb that cost. That's part of what we do.
Representative Pawlowski, do you still have a question?
Mr. Chair, Dr. Sampson, could you repeat for me, please, the group that you're here today representing?
Chairman Zornis, Representative Pawlowski. I'm a fill-in for somebody who was to be here, and it turned out was out of town. The University of Minnesota faculty normally has a faculty member who operates as a liaison with the legislature. I'm one of two such people this year. So I'm testifying on behalf of the university.
Mr. Chair, that was my second question. So you are testifying on behalf of the University of Minnesota. So the position that you have today is the university's position, not just the faculty's position, but the university's position. Is that correct?
Representative Norris, Representative Pawlowski, the answer is yes.
Right. Thank you.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Sampson, kind of a rut today. I'm really concerned about the nursing shortage that we have in Minnesota. And the testimony from President Davenport earlier was that he felt that increasing the number of doctorate programs, nurses obtaining doctorates would be helpful to alleviating that problem. Now, apparently, since there is a problem, if he is true in his assumption, the University of Minnesota is not turning out enough nurses in their doctoral program.
Right.
So I'd like you to respond to that. Is the assumption true that we need more? And if that is true, what is the University of Minnesota going to do about it if we don't increase the program?
Dr. Sampson.
Chairman Norris, Representative Liddell, I'm unable to speak to the question of what the future plans are of the nursing program. I'm even more, I think, uncomfortable trying to speak in detail about what the best response solutions would be to the very serious nursing program we've got. I'm not a nurse, I don't like the sight of blood, etc. I was intrigued, however, in talking earlier this morning with the dean of the nursing program at the University of Minnesota, to listen to what she said about the ambiguity of this phrase, applied doctorate. I was even more fascinated because it, to me, echoes the kind of thing that I think is endemic in Minnesota, that this is the only state in the union where you've gotten a meeting of nurses from LPN at the lowest educational level to people with doctoral degrees. You've gotten all the deans of the nursing programs together in a meeting in Minneapolis March 1st, and there's an effort underway to try to figure out how to best make use of the resources in the state and address the problem of the constraints on education for nursing. I don't know how that's going to come out, and I can't speak to the details of that. It does impress me as a sort of thing that ought to have implications down the road for the legislature. It seems to me that a committee talking with that group after they've had a few meetings might get some ideas that are much better than anything I could suggest to somebody in a different part of the university.
Seeing no other questions, and our trainee just left, 6 years old, he sat long enough. Any further comments, Representative Lopez?
Mr. Chair, maybe just a couple. Dr. Sampson leaves a lot on the table for us to talk about, and we've already consumed a lot of time. And I know that he's new to his role here, but this is not a new conversation for the the legislature. These ideas are have been implemented, as indicated, in most other states. The distinction that he likes to draw between what the university does with a PhD and research and what we're calling applied doctorates isn't that black and white. Of course, all doctorates require some level of research, and I tried to express that earlier, that it's an issue of emphasis. And the bottom line is, the University of Minnesota either is not interested in or unwilling to meet the needs that have been expressed to this legislature for a decade in the metro area and across the state for what we're calling applied doctors. Now, there is no place in statute that defines applied doctorate, but I suspect that most of us and most of the people in the academic community, if you put together the alphabet soup of doctorates, it would not be very difficult to distinguish which ones are the applied ones and which ones are not the applied ones. And the University of Minnesota provides many of those, but simply not to the extent that we need them in the state of Minnesota.
Representative Carls?
Now, Mr. Chairman, I mentioned earlier I had a question of the author, and it's a fairly quick one, although in retrospect maybe I could have asked Mr. Bradshaw, because that's kind of the gist of my question, if you recall my discussion with him about how quickly he might move forward. But the language on page 2, lines 2 and 3, says the state universities shall offer undergraduate and graduate instruction through the applied doctorate. Now, there's two ways that you could interpret that. If Dr. Davenport offers it at Mankato, then that sentence, one interpretation could be that it's satisfied. Another interpretation could be that until all seven are offering the applied doctorate, it's not satisfied. I think there should probably be, as this discussion moves forward, some clarification of that. I'm not sure if May would satisfy that or not. It would certainly open the door that they could. But when I first read that, when I was asking Dr. Bradshaw what he thought, I was interpreting it that they would all have to be offering it, and that's what I was asking him about his master's degree programs and what direction they were planning to go. So maybe it's not even a question, it's more a statement at this point, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, I think you raise a good point. And as you heard, the discussion was not my intent or the intent of NISCU to have every state university doing it. So if there needs to be some clarification in that with the respect to the word shall, I think you're right.
If there are no other questions, the chair will lay this bill over. House file 165 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. We need to pass or approve the minutes from March the 9th. Do we have a motion? Representative Carlson moves Wednesday, March the 9th minutes. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, and the minutes are approved. And the meeting is adjourned.